Welcome to Coach Life, where we talk to coaches from all sporting backgrounds. We discuss their coaching qualifications, their beliefs, their experiences, their players, the environment they set, and just their coaching life in general. Welcome back. Very soon you'll hear me talking to Richard Dalton. He runs La Boca Youth Futsal and Football Coaching. He's got many years experience, knows how he wants to do it. Over 300 children he coaches. And we discuss futsal, how it aids player development, how it's different to football, what would two players look like, one who played futsal, one who played football. And we discuss pro footballers who have been involved in futsal in their development when they were younger. So it's a good one again, and I hope you enjoy it. Thanks for coming on and talking to me.
Yeah, no problem at all. Looking forward to this.
Yeah, I've followed you for quite a while. I don't know whether you've realised, but I've followed your Facebook page for quite a long time.
Yeah, I've seen. Obviously, we get quite a bit of a few comments, etc. But yeah, I have noticed. I have noticed yourself. It's always when people that come from different areas. Obviously, most of our followers come locally.
Yes.
So, yeah, but I have noticed you've been following, which is great.
Yeah. Looks very good. So how many kids have you got there now?
Pre-COVID, we had regularly 85 to 90 doing futsal.
Cool, yeah.
And then we do summer camps, some football stuff, and futsal camps as well. So kids that we have contact with over around 300. So pretty decent.
That is, yeah. Yeah, it is. And I've sort of jumped into it a bit early there, but yeah, I was going to say to, can you tell me a bit about what you do? So obviously you run La Boca.
Yeah, of course. Yeah.
For anyone that doesn't know, it's on Facebook, La Boca. La Boca Futsal, wasn't it?
Yeah, La Boca Football Futsal is the page name. La Boca Futsal, you'll find it from there.
Right, yeah. And sort of like your beliefs in coaching. So what do you, obviously futsal, so skills based. But apart from that, what else do you sort of believe in?
In terms of coaching, I think futsal is a great benefit as part of a football programme. I do think they go hand in hand. There's quite a lot of debate around that, but I do quite like twin tracking. Big believer in kids playing futsal and football, especially in the foundation phases. And really, I quite like programs that have a wider variety, so you get a lot of different experiences. So social media debate always seems to be around, game-based approach, ball mastery approach, lots of different debates around that. But for me, I think they're all relevant, and kids that have a wide variety within their program in terms of their actual development as players, generally I think it's pretty beneficial. So clearly time, money in a grassroots environment, a bit of a strain, so to do sort of 6, 7, 8 hours a week doesn't usually happen with many, but when you look at academy programs, if I had my way and ran an academy program, we'd have futsal in there. We'd have some one-to-one or very small group sessions, and we'd have lots of game-based stuff as well. So really,
yeah,
it's the wide variety, I think, benefits.
I think it does, doesn't it? I think if you just do one thing all the time, it limits them, doesn't it?
Yeah, I mean, I've always loved as a coach, pretty much even since I started, which a few years ago now. But I've always loved playing games, because when you're talking about kids, they love playing games. So
yeah,
that's sort of the core of what we do, even with our futsal program. You know, it's heavily based on games, but then there is your ball mastery in there. There is lots of 1v1 type practices that we do. So yeah, the wide variety, I think, really does benefit them. But again, at a grassroots sort of level, it's very difficult in terms of time, and obviously for parents financially going to everything or every type of thing you can go to. Obviously, it's feasible.
Yeah, it is, isn't it? Yeah, it's you're right. Money and sort of they've almost got to choose, haven't they? Really, it's whether they do futsal, whether they do this or other sports, multi sports.
Yeah.
But so what? For anyone that doesn't know, what is futsal to you?
Okay, so futsal, I suppose, in its simplest term, for those that know very little, is a variant of football, whereby it's played 5 versus 5 on a hard surface, in England, usually indoors. Other parts of the world that have a different climate will play outdoors. And when I say a variant of football, it's a basis of defend one goal, attack another, in a very simplistic way. But slightly different rules from even five-a-side football that people may have traditionally grown up with in England. So in futsal, you'll play to lines, whereas a lot of five-a-side is played off wall. So you play to lines, you'll have 4 seconds to get the ball back into play. It's kick-ins and not throw-ins. There's lots of different rules. Sort of the goalkeeper can't receive the ball straight back from an outfield player. There's a foul count, so over 5 fouls in each half results in what I call a 10-meter penalty. So although it sort of looks like indoor football or five-a-side football traditionally, there are quite a few differences. Play with a heavier ball is another one. A goalkeeper only gets 4 seconds in possession in their own half. So, like I say, there's lots of varieties that probably make the game really interesting and really developmental as from a football point of view as well.
Yeah. No, for me, it's a little bit of football, street football, and basketball mixed in, if you know what I mean.
Yeah, there's basketball. You wouldn't think it, because basketball, obviously, played with the hands. But there are a lot of similarities, especially your movements to receive possession, and a variety of things. Obviously, your foul counts, etc. In basketball, there's lots of movement of substitution, so it's roll on, roll off as many times as you want. Can roll on when the ball's in play. It's lot of similarities to basketball. Handball's another one that there are some similarities with that as well.
Yeah, and mainly with the basketball similarity, it was the movement of the players and the quick substitutions, and it's quite intense, isn't it?
Yeah, it's futsal. I mean, we have at our centres, we have different ages. Sort of start the youngest player pre-COVID. We had a couple of 4-year-olds coming along, but generally we start around 5 or 6, and the eldest that we'll have is 13. So we've got a lot in between, sort of 6 and 12. And the pace of the game compared to sort of under 7s, 8s, grassroots, 5v5, the pace of futsal, it's massively different. When our kids, we've got a local futsal league that I'm involved in. That I actually set up locally in our area. And the pace of the game is unbelievable in comparison to 5v5 football. So you go and watch an under-7s, under-8s 5v5 on the grass on a Sunday morning, and you come Friday night futsal league that we do. It's something I keep meaning to do, but I'd love to stand there and count the touches or count how long the ball's in play at futsal compared to football, because I think the differences would be massive. It would be a huge difference. And that's all the feedback you get from coaches that are trying futsal for almost the first time or are very new to it. That's one of the things I always say, it's so much faster and the ball so much more in play than generally playing football at 5v5.
So if I've got a question for you, and I think it's quite a good one for the comparison, really. So if you had two twins, one grew up playing futsal, one grew up playing regular grassroots, number one, who would be better? hypothetically, and how would they differentiate? How would they, you know, how would they be different?
I think, first of all, assuming the environment were the same, which I suppose is another topic, but yeah, assuming the environments were the same in the futsal and the football in terms of coach quality, general environment to develop, I think the twin that played futsal by the time they got to 16 would be better at futsal, and the twin that played football would be better at football. Because they are different games. Similarities, I suppose it's like snooker and billiards, for an example, but the similarities, but they're different.
So
I think, assuming same genetics, etc., which again is another subject, but assuming all that, I think you'd have one better at futsal, one better at football. But I think in terms of what would a futsal player look different to a football player, I think a futsal player would be technically better, especially in tight spaces. I think they'd be technically better with the ball. Their ball manipulation would be better. Their first touch would generally be better. And I think they'd think a lot quicker than the football player.
That is where I was just going to go. I was going to say, for me, I think they'd be much quicker decision makers.
That's what futsal gives you. I mean, a lot of people think futsal's all tricks and flicks and everything else. That's probably what the outsiders may perceive. But in terms of what it actually brings, the decision making and the quick thinking both on and off the ball, I think the futsal player would have a better skill set in that area.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, I do agree. For those that are unfamiliar, you said earlier about the heavy ball. Am I right? Is it slightly smaller?
Yeah, so futsal, you play with a size 3 ball in futsal up until the end of under 13. So at the start of under 14s, you then use a size 4. So it's it's almost the size smaller than a football effectively throughout. But like you say, it's a heavier ball.
So obviously the smaller ball would be good for ball manipulation and skills.
Yeah.
But would the heavier ball, does it help? Does it make it harder?
I mean, a good point around the smaller ball to start with. I'll answer that one first. I mean, we use a lot of size 2 futsal balls with the very younger ones. Simply like you say, because it's the proportion of size against the general size of the child that the smaller ball will generally be better in terms of ball manipulation, ball mastery, etc. So we do use size 2s with a lot of our younger ones as well. But yeah, in terms of the heavier ball, I don't know whether you've ever seen, I mean, in terms of help or hindrance, a heavier ball's really a must for indoors, because I'm sure a lot have seen when you have the old fuzzy yellow indoor football, or some would just bring a normal football. It's bouncing around here, there and everywhere, where with 30% less bounce with the heavier ball, it allows, obviously, the ball to stay on the ground or closer to the ground a lot more, which obviously aids the technical side of the game. And in terms of, I mean, talking about ball striking, for example, if you strike a size 4 football, you can get that quite wrong or quite off, and you'll still get a decent strike on it. Whereas if you don't get a pure strike on a futsal, it won't go anywhere. The margin for error is a lot less with a futsal in terms of ball striking than it is with a football.
And how do you think futsal improves goalkeepers?
Yeah, good question. I think it improves goalkeepers with their feet. Talking about goalkeepers, we have teams, we have a wide variety of programs, have different kids that come in, but we do have teams as well. And we don't really have goalkeepers. We often kids that would be outfield players in football or playing goal. I'm not sure whether that's the same everywhere, but in terms of how it improves the goalkeepers, definitely with their feet and definitely with their distribution, speed of thought. In football, obviously, can be a lot slower from the goalkeeper, although you're seeing now in modern day goalkeepers, particularly the Brazilians that, interestingly, would have grown up playing futsal, Edison and Alisson, for example. The speed of their thought, the quality they have on the ball. I know they played futsal as kids, and I know they attribute quite a lot to their technical side of their game in terms of their feet and their quick decision-making to that.
Just want to say a massive thank you to everyone who's followed us on social media. It's unbelievable. We're growing very quickly. Please get involved. Find us on Twitter. We do have a Facebook page. Retweet anything that you find good. It's much appreciated.
Edison, so on a Saturday or Sunday, when he receives the ball, you can see that he's played street football, futsal, that sort of thing, can't you?
Yeah, most definitely. Yeah, I think the technical element of obviously giving the examples of Edison and Alisson with their feet, you can see that they've played, I don't know in detail their journey, but you can see that they've played some futsal and they definitely had to use their feet a lot, and they're definitely very technically and tactically good in that department. In terms of actual goalkeeping, it's probably not my strength in futsal, goalkeeper coaching. However, I know probably not a great example at the moment, but David De Gea attributes futsal as helping him with his development. And you sometimes see the way De Gea will save the ball with that sort of futsal style of goalkeeping. He's used his feet a lot to save the ball. In the past, you can see how he sort of spreads into a futsal style goalkeeping shape often, that probably you don't see, or you wouldn't see much with, particularly English goalkeepers. There's definitely an influence there.
There is, yeah. And thinking of Premier League players, do you think Phil Foden played futsal when he was younger?
Good question. He plays like a futsal player.
I know, yeah, that's my thinking.
Yeah, he plays.
He really does.
He plays like a futsal player. What if you could put a futsal player and put them in a box, what they might look like on a football pitch. Yeah, Foden really does look like the type of player you might develop playing futsal, although that's probably boxing and pigeonholing a little bit too much what you might think of a futsal player at. But
yeah,
do I think he played futsal? I actually don't know the answer. I actually don't think he did. I don't think he did on a regular basis. But what I think he played was probably a lot of street football on the tarmac with his mates. And a lot of free playing in that. So, you know, do they link? Yes. But I don't think he played organised futsal, just from my own personal knowledge, although I stand to be corrected on that, so I'm not 100% sure.
No, I'm not sure. I've tried to look for a bit of evidence, but hasn't found anything.
No. I mean, as part of the academy program he would have been in, they play 2 to 3 futsal events a year. So, with Man City, he would have played in at least a couple of futsal events. Going through his development. I'm not sure 100% when that started, but I'm sure he would have, given his age, I'm sure he would have played in a couple at least. He would have experienced it, but football academies, some take futsal a little bit more seriously than others. So how much real futsal, as I call it, he got from Man City, probably very limited.
Yeah, because two to three times a year, it's not a lot in the grand scheme of things, is it, really?
No, it's minimal. It's tournaments, and some clubs play it through the year, as in it's part of their programme. So they'll do 2 hours on it a week, and it is part of their programme. Other clubs don't touch it. They just go and play in the tournaments. And other clubs will perhaps train sort of 4 to 6 weeks, 8 weeks of the year, probably when these tournaments are coming up. So there's no sort of set hours amongst pro clubs. It's really all down to them and their programme. Like I say, some embrace it more than others, I know that.
So what... How long has futsal been around for?
In terms of in England, or
I mean, obviously, it's probably always been played. Maybe without people really realizing it, but when did people start going serious and sort of a heavier ball? And yeah, was it Brazil that started?
Yes. Started in South America.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know the exact date, if I'm honest. It is 1920, 30, 40 sort of time. So you're looking at pretty much 100 years, yeah. There's a couple of different stories as to where it actually started, or a few different stories. But yeah, believed to be South America. Some will tell you Brazil, some will tell you Uruguay. There's lots of different ways that they claim how it started from there. But yeah, it's basically was formed in South America, and then sort of become established from there. Obviously, some countries embracing it earlier than others, with sort of your Spains and your Portugals in Europe being what you'd think as pretty much the top two in Europe. Russia have a good side, Croatia sort of top 20 in the world side. So there's lots of European representative. Funnily enough, they do show Iran have got a very good side. I think they were third or fourth in the world.
Wow.
But apart from them, I think the top four, I haven't looked as of around 9 to 12 months ago, there was Spain, Portugal, Argentina and Brazil were pretty much the top four nations in the world.
Yeah.
Along with Iran now getting amongst that. So, yeah, that's interesting that some real strong, powerful football nations are also extremely powerful within futsal as well.
Yeah, yeah. And it's surprising. Croatia, they just seem to get everything right with their normal academies and development. But also, you said they're quite good at futsal as well. And it's...
They
really do seem to do it well.
They do. I think, like I say, I wouldn't know the exact world ranking, but they're a top 20 in the world nation, probably pushing up more towards top 10, and considering the population and obviously the wider issues that area had some years ago. It's amazing that they still keep producing such quality in both sports.
Yeah, yeah. So give me a handful of footballers that you know did play futsal.
Well, okay, we could probably go through quite a few here, but you've got your likes of Lionel Messi, Ronaldo, as in CR7, R9, Iniesta. They all roll off the tongue, some of the great players, even Pele. Basically, all the Brazilians grow up playing futsal because they play futsal before they play football.
Yeah.
So they all play futsal, Brazilians. But in terms of, there's probably quite an interesting one that's emerged recently from an English example. Is Max Kilman. He plays for Wolves. He's a centre back. I'm imagining he's made probably around 20 appearances for the first team this season, which obviously in a club of what's now Wolves' stature, sort of pushing top six in the Premier League, it's no mean achievement. But his journey, without knowing the finer details, but his basic journey was, I believe he played football and was at Fulham's academy until he was around 14, 15, where he was released from the football academy, I believe possibly on technical grounds. Went and played, carry on playing football, but also started playing futsal. And then playing non-league. Continued to play futsal alongside his non-league. He was playing futsal for England. Eventually Wolves signed him. Initially, I think, playing their under-23s. But over the last sort of 18 months or so, he's pushed into a mainstay in the first team squad. He's on the bench minimum most weeks.
Right.
He attributes him eventually becoming a professional, obviously after the initial knockback at Fulham. A big part of it's down to futsal.
Oh wow! No, I didn't. That seems to have passed me by. That story.
Yeah,
I'll have to have a look.
He attributes the sort of interviews and quotes he's done where he attributes futsal as a big part of his development. Now, I touched on earlier that a lot of people would put futsal players in a box as technical, tricky, flicks, tricks, etc. Max Kilman's a centre half, 6 foot three, four. But futsal has helped improve his technical in terms of his touch and his quick thinking, what we discussed earlier. So I actually think that was a real big part of his development.
So is he, I haven't seen him play at all. Is he like John Stones?
Wolves play a back three, don't they? So left-sided centre-back.
Right.
Oh. Good in the air, your traditional, what you'd box a centre-back as. Strong, quite powerful, but competent with the ball. I don't think you can play Premier League football now at the level Wolves are at, and especially the way that their manager would want to play the game without being very, very technically competent every position on the pitch. I think it was just that, probably just fine-tuned and just polished his skills, really, and just gave him what he needed to go to that pro level.
It's interesting. So, you were talking about Wolves manager there. Could you ever see... Well, actually, first of all, where does a manager fit in with the game of futsal? Is he as important or she as important as normal football?
Yeah, every bit is important. I think some of the futsal purists would argue more important.
Right.
I mean, tactically, futsal is quite an interesting game. It's decisions from the bench, what players you're going to have on the court at what time, decisions from set pieces. You get timeouts in futsal where you can, often take an important time of the game with maybe a set piece, corner, free kick. So all of that is obviously a lot of coach driven. So
I
think the game's faster, so the players have to think quicker, and coach has to think quicker. You probably have to recognise, being a coach in futsal, you probably have to recognise things earlier and quicker and act on them in terms of how the game's developing, rather than what you do in football, where you probably get a little bit more time in football because the ball's out of play more, where you probably stand back and give it a bit longer, whereas in futsal you probably haven't got that time. Make a lot more sort of quicker, snappier decisions, or your thinking has to be quicker in terms of what you're seeing. I think the coach every bit is important. I think actually coaching your players day to day, obviously, that'd be of equal importance.
Yeah. And do you, is there any history, or do you ever think there will be a futsal manager come across to a football?
Ooh. I'd be surprised. Because they're very different games. Although they're very similar from the outside looking in, they're very, very different games. I think at a professional level, or even a semi-professional level, you probably coach futsal or you coach football. I think I'd be very surprised if there was any crossover whereby a futsal coach, a pure futsal coach, goes into football. In England, if you had a football coach that really wanted to learn and develop their futsal, the game's so small at the moment that they could probably go over and coach National League right now. How long it'll be like that, I'm not sure, if the game develops.
Yeah. And why do you think some people dismiss futsal? I mean, for me, I love it. It's fast paced, it's movement. But some people just can't enjoy it.
I think that's probably two main reasons that I believe. The first is, I think you're talking in terms of kids. I think a lot of coaches, parents that probably have very, very limited knowledge on futsal and aren't really educated in it, perceive it all to be tricks and flicks. So they perceive that futsal is lots of ball hogging, ball greedy players. What's the point? I don't want to be involved in that. When really it couldn't be further from the truth. Clearly, great 1v1 players have played futsal, and you know there's great 1v1 players that are futsal pros now. But you can't just futsal being good at that part of the game. So I think the fact that they don't really understand the game is one big reason. And I think the second big reason is that sometimes people are a little bit scared to get into things they're not comfortable with or they don't know about. We started our futsal league last September. Very quickly it became one of the biggest youth futsal leagues in the country. So we had over 400 players play through the season from different teams. Nearly 50 teams took part in the league. So we had a good wide base, and that was all between the ages of under 8s and under 12s. But what you did find was the coaches that were new to it were a little bit uncomfortable, and not in a bad way, because they'd taken the plunge, they'd gone out of their comfort zone to come and have a look, to come and see what it was all about. But that's they'll come out with comments like, well, I don't really know anything about futsal, or I'm not sure about futsal. And what you find is, generally, you go and watch a grassroots football game, under 8s, under 12s we had in the league. You'll go on a Sunday morning, you watch a grassroots football game, parents, coaches, everyone's an expert. They've either had a trial when they were a kid, they've watched Match of the Day religiously for 25 years or whatever it may be. But everyone's an expert with football, aren't they? That's just our culture.
Or even Susan the hairdresser as well, isn't she?
Yeah, exactly. Everyone's got everyone involved with football, parents, coaches, the vast, vast majority that come along have got an opinion. They've got an opinion how the game should be played. They've got an opinion on coach decisions. They've got an opinion on player decisions. They've got an opinion on everything. What we found with the futsal is that people wouldn't be so opinionated or wouldn't be so strong with their views because they realised it was a different game. So they'd almost just stand there and watch. And it was quite refreshing, to be honest, in many cases. Because they didn't feel comfortable, I'm kind of very relaxed with it all. But I think in terms of the barrier and why people might not like it, it might be that they're uncomfortable with it, or they don't know about it, or they don't feel they've got the knowledge with it. So they won't take that plunge.
Mm. So all in all, it's a much calmer environment then.
If you went to watch a grassroots game on a Sunday morning, if you went to a park or wherever they're playing, and there's four games on, eight games, whatever it was, you watch them, and then you came to our futsal league and you watch that, absolutely worlds apart. As a rule, not, you know, generalising a little bit, but as a rule, you'll have a lot more noise around the football. Say everyone's an expert, whereas the futsal, a lot more relaxed. A lot more let the kids play, let the kids get on with it. because I think a lot of the coaches were unsure of the rules and initially and unsure of sort of unsure of the game. And, you know, by their own admission, were learning. They were doing FA courses, level ones, etc., as part of our league. But they were a lot more relaxed.
Yeah. Oh, it sounds good. And how long is a general futsal game then?
So, if you're playing sort of in the National League, for example, or international games, it'll be 20 minutes each way, and it's a stop clock. So every time the ball goes out of play, the clock would be stopped.
Okay.
So, and then obviously when it's restarted, it's the clock starts again. So, although they're 40 minutes, they're actually longer than that in terms of how long it actually takes you. They're getting close to the 80-minute mark most of the time.
Yeah.
In terms of how long the game goes on for. And in terms of what we do, for example, in our youth league is we do 40 minutes, but we don't have to stop clock because obviously sports all time cost, etc. Yeah. It just runs from there, but you're on a futsal court or a couple of futsal courts that we have, and the ball, although it's out of play, it doesn't take much retrieving, and you've got your 4 seconds to get it in, so the ball is in play for the vast majority of the time.
Is it a very expensive sport?
Yeah, I suppose it can be. Sports all higher costs. Depends where you go, but some places can be what I can only describe as ridiculous. But you can find other sports halls that are a similar-ish price to what you'd hire a quarter of a 3G pitch, for example. So it's not out of proportion if you find the right place compared to something like hiring a quarter of a 3G.
I mean, I was going to say some of the 3G prices are up there as well, aren't they?
Yeah, they can be. They can be. So, yeah, in comparison to them, it's probably not particularly expensive. There's not that much difference locally to us, particularly. There's not that much difference. However, the barrier is sports hall space, appropriate sports hall space and appropriate time. It's so difficult to get. I mean, we like 3 hours in a row because we just, you know, for us, it's better to be there for 3 hours continually, age group 1, 2 and 3 coming, for example. And that just works better for us. But to find places where you can get even 2 hours in a row is so difficult.
Yeah.
That's a real big barrier. I mean, if you think football, ultimately you can rock up on the local park, can't you, and run a session from there. The barrier to entry is a lot more than what it would be with football.
A question that I think is quite important is with the older age groups, sort of under 16s, you know, around that age, that's a massive dropout rate in grassroots. A massive dropout age. So when they can't field an 11-a-side team, should they, for me, they should try and then get a futsal team going. But again, down where I am, there's no league down here.
Yeah. Yeah, I think probably a couple of points there. In terms of the leagues, I think there was the fast forward with futsal from the FA that came out. It's been out a while now, probably must be 18 months or so, probably slightly longer. And to be fair, they put in, there was grants for people to run leagues. You know, if you ran certain, you know, you were getting 1,000 or 2,000 to start up leagues. And, you know, the FA were really starting to invest and starting to promote and help futsal. I just think it's pot luck what area you're in, really.
I think it is. I think it is. And I think you're right. some people are scared of it, so they don't want to dive into it.
Yeah. Well, we had. So the area that I run comes under Birmingham County FA. And we were the biggest league within the County FA. We had another league that was not probably within 12, 15 miles of our venue. They had decent uptake as well. But then you'd have other leagues trying to start, not particularly in our area, but within the Birmingham County FA. They couldn't get them off the ground because they didn't have the uptake of those wanting to do it.
Yeah.
And I guess that's parts of the country, it's the same. I mean, for example, I know the Northwest seems to have a really good base of futsal.
They do, yeah.
Where you've got sort of your Boltons, your Manchesters, all of that sort of way. There's a lot of futsal going on, and there has been for quite a few years. I mean, they've been involved with leagues and that's for quite a while. Obviously, parts of London, there's quite a bit of uptake in those leagues there. But as far as I'm aware, through the country, I mean, the number of leagues must have grown significantly last season. I'm just hoping for next season that all the COVID issues that, obviously, I'm guessing the FA have had some funding cut, they won't be able to invest as much, and it wouldn't surprise me if futsal was the first thing that was cut from the budget.
Mm.
But we shall see.
Yeah, well, COVID dependent. If futsal comes out all right, I think it's a sport that is just going to grow and grow, isn't it?
It was growing rapidly.
The last season,
it was really, really growing. The numbers, the participation was at an all-time high for England.
Just something fun to finish on. I said, can you come up with a five-a-side or a futsal team with a mix of, well, it can be all pro footballers or futsal players, or you can have some people put superheroes or whatever in theirs. Basically, just with good characteristics that you like.
Okay. Well, I'll probably be quite boring and stick with football players. I'll probably add a futsal player in thinking about it as well. But yeah, I'll stick to futsal and football players, shall we say. If we're going for a five-a-side futsal team, now, I think I wouldn't bother with a goalie. I think we'd just play fly keeper, which is basically an outfield player that just has the responsibility of being in goal as well, in simple terms. And I think I'd play Carlos Puyol from Barcelona.
Oh, wow, okay.
As my defensive player and my keeper as well, give him that responsibility. I don't know how good he's in goal. I've got no inside information about that, but we'll take that risk. So I think we'll go with Puyol. I mean, one of my favourite centre backs breaks the mould of what you'd pigeonhole a centre back as. 6'2" plus, big, strong, athletic. He was fantastic technically, a brilliant reader of the game, and had a big heart. We'll stick him in as our defensive player.
He was surprisingly technical as well, wasn't he?
Yeah, exceptionally good with the ball, and obviously very intelligent defensively. And I'd say he had a big heart, which for all the technical and tactical alike, I think everyone loves a player with a big heart as well. There's probably quite a big Barcelona influence in here, which might tell you where I'm going.
That's good.
I'd play Iniesta in there. Just such a great player. Played futsal when he was growing up in his very early years, and slightly digressing, but in Spain often, and in Brazil as well. Gets to a certain point where kids almost pick football or futsal if they're of what you want to term the highest level for their age. And I know Iniesta did the same, but he did that, obviously picked football. But yeah, just such a great player, technically, tactically, great decision maker, awareness, his awareness of space and his ability to sort of glide past players was fantastic. So yeah, I'd have Iniesta in there.
Just going off a minute, La Masia or whatever you call it, the Barcelona Academy, yeah. Basically. How often do you think they played futsal? Oh, a week.
I'm not sure that they play that much futsal there.
Right.
They play a lot of futsal in Spain.
Yeah.
You know, growing up, kids are playing football and futsal traditionally. But in terms of the actual football club at Barcelona, you see, they have a separate futsal club.
Yes, they do actually. Yeah, yeah, yeah. But I wondered if sort of the kids would experience that and go over sort of 2-3 times a week or something like that.
Yeah, the kids that are within La Masia will, the Spanish kids, more than likely have played futsal, and but how much they get through Barca is, I think it's a little bit of a myth whereby everyone thinks at La Masia they play futsal very regular. I actually don't think it's as regular as what people would perceive.
Oh, right. Yeah.
Yeah, so, but growing up, before they get to La Masia, highly likely they've played futsal and lots of futsal.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah.
So, who else have I got? So, I've got two. I'll throw a futsal player in there.
Yeah.
Ricardinho,
okay,
Portuguese, well known to now be the best player in the world, or thought by many to be the best player in the world. Didn't make it as a football player. Small, very technical, lightning fast feet. Again, good decision maker. I'm not sure why he didn't make it, but I'm guessing it may have been a physical thing, but I'm not entirely sure. Or maybe he eventually decided that futsal was the line he'd go down, and he's done very well out of it. So yeah, I'd have him in there. Good one to watch on YouTube if anyone wants to go down and have a look. Ricardinho, you'll find some top skills and top moves and top goals on there. I'd always direct the kid to a few of his YouTube videos.
Oh, I'll have to have a look. Yeah, I'll have to have a look.
And then we'll go. I'll go Ronaldinho.
Yes. Yeah.
Not. How can I put it? Not probably wouldn't be in the top five best football players that if you asked me who the top five best football players I've ever seen were, I wouldn't put him in there. But if that's the top five entertainers, he'd definitely be in there. And just watching him was just, I just loved to watch him. He was such a pleasure to watch.
He was a luxury, wasn't he?
Yeah, he was absolutely phenomenal. I mean, there's not many Barcelona players, I'm sure, that have had standing ovations in the Bernabeu like he did.
Yeah, I know.
Because he was so phenomenal that day, and that's something he produced, you know, many times each season.
He did. And the goal, that game where he scored two, didn't he, in that game?
Yeah, I think he did. Yeah.
Yeah, because I remember he came in past Helguera, and then I think the other one, he absolutely sold Sergio Ramos as well.
Yeah.
But for me, also, the goal at Chelsea. Do you remember that
one? Yeah, the toe poke.
Oh, dear.
Futsal as well, related.
Yeah.
I think, yeah, he played a lot of futsal through growing up. And that sort of toe poke, that's reminiscent of futsal days. I'm going off topic, but the look at the amount of Brazilian players, particularly forward players, that use the toe poke to finish from their futsal days. I mean, those probably of my generation will remember Romario. Brazilian centre forward, absolutely fantastic little player. But the amount of goals he scored within the 18-yard box with his toes, was fantastic. And again, how many coaches do you hear coaching young kids? Oh, don't toe poke it, don't toe poke it. No, no, you should never use your toes. Whereas actually, it's a great technique to have in your toolbox.
Yeah, it is. Yeah.
And finally, I can't leave him out because he's my second favourite player ever. Lionel Messi, I'd have to have him in. Because he's just such a great player. He's the best dribbler in the world.
He is.
One of the best finishers in the world. He's one of the best passers in the world. I mean, how many players through any generation have you had that are almost the best at everything or in the top three or five in the world at so many different things?
And do you know what the funny thing is as well? Is like people say, oh, we've got to enjoy it. We've got only a couple of years left of him. He could quite easily go and play defensive midfielder.
Yeah. He could play anywhere.
Yeah.
So good.
He's
absolutely phenomenal. I mean, it's so underrated how good he is, how good his decision making and his passing is. I think Ronaldo, it's that old debate, isn't it? I think CR7's an absolutely phenomenal player. He's a great example of somebody that has worked and worked and worked to get where they are. That's a great example for anyone. But if you look at his and Messi's goals, very, very similar in terms of numbers. But if you look at the assists from Messi and you look at that little extra he brings, that's, to me, why he's my favourite, well, current favourite player.
And Ronaldo is more a product, isn't he?
Yeah. Yeah, he's... I think I always say to... the kids that we coach, I'll often, one of the things I'll often ask, well, if we're doing a certain thing during, this is more our football coaching, but if we're doing a certain topic or something, I might say, well, who's a good, and then say dribbler, Messi. Or who's good at running with the ball? They say Messi. Who's good at this? Messi. They just say Messi for everything.
And he is.
And I say to them, I say, you're right. I say, Messi's a freak. He's good at everything. There's nobody else that you can really put at the top for pretty much everything, but with him, he's just sensational. So I'd have to have him in the five-a-side team.
Yeah, definitely. No, that's some team. Cool.
Very Barcelona-based. I had to throw the futsal player in as well.
But it shows what they're good at, doesn't it? It shows their strengths.
Yeah, and it probably shows the type of players that I like and value.
Yeah. Yeah, no, it's been good. It's been good chatting about futsal.
Yeah, really enjoyed it.
Yeah, no, it's been good. I hope Laboca continues to be a success.
Yeah, well, we've got some big plans coming up, and hopefully, when we can get back inside the sports hall, which I'm hoping isn't too far away, then we can continue where we left off around March and hopefully help players develop in futsal, in football, and just be the best they want to be in what they do, really. That's what it's all about.
Yeah, that's what it's about, isn't it? Having fun and exactly, see if they can progress.
Exactly, definitely.
Well, Richard, thanks for talking to me. And... Hopefully we'll speak again.
Thanks very much for having me. Really appreciate it.
Thank you for listening to our podcast. We are on Twitter, so please give us a share, give us a like, give us a follow @_coachlife. And me, your host, I am on Twitter @thefatperlo. Ha 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 ha.